We're here at Fringe City on day two of Brighton Fringe, and I bumped into Simon Plotkin. Is that you?
That is me.
That is good, yeah. And the title is Do The Thing, the two-man made-up musical. Tell us a bit about that.
It's all in the title, really. Me and another man, Tim, we make up up to two musicals, because, you know, don't know how long the first one's going to take, live on stage. All the songs, all the characters, everything just totally improvised, audience suggestion. We've got another one on guitar, because, you know, we're not totally crazy. But yeah, it's like Showstoppers, only 10% more slapdash, 20% more swearing, and a third of the price. So, pretty good.
And on some personal note, why put yourself through that?
Because I love it. I mean, people think they think it's crazy intimidating, but genuinely, I think I think in songs anyway. Like, it just happens. So it's like, it's great. Like, there's a lot of kind of thinking, a lot of work on getting the sort of songs right. But yeah, it feels amazing kind of when it goes well. So yeah, it's an incredible release.
And in terms of, for people that don't know, how do you get yourself into the zone to do that on stage in front of them?
I don't know. We warm up, do sort of a few songs. We just sort of like tune our voices in, and then really, I think it's just the tension of, because we start right away with just singing immediately. Like, we set the scene with songs. It's just kind of just getting into it. I think it's pure fear. A lot of it. Yeah.
Is there such a thing as a crap suggestion from the audience?
I don't know if there's a crap suggestion. There's suggestions that are a bit sort of done to death. Like, if an audience member suggests kind of something like, I don't know, a bit sort of dirty or like sort of sexual, it's not that's bad necessarily. It's that they might think, oh, that's really funny to say like a rude word, but in fact they don't really want to see that played out. So no, I think it's just what you do with the suggestion that counts. I think they can say really anything.
Now, if you do this time after time and it goes into your memory, how do you make sure you don't accidentally stumble on something you've done before? Or is it okay to pick up stuff from your library?
I think doing something before, even comes, if it seems like it'd be slightly similar, I think that's a road to ruin, because the second it becomes like something rote, the audience can sense it. It doesn't have that sense of spontaneity and surprise. So try and avoid that as much as possible. Although, you know, sometimes maybe accents and characters might rhyme with each other, because, you know, we can't have 300 separate characters. I mean, I could. I might be next show.
A lot of improv troupes are four or five people. What are the sort of specific opportunities of just being two of you?
I think from a sort of personal point of view, it's we have a great sort of sense of trust, and we absolutely know each other kind of, if that sounds wrong, we know each other inside out, so we know that one person will pick up the next thing, and we can, like, allows us to, I think, craft like bigger narratives, because we know how the other one works and how we can just sort of pick up that sort of thing. And I think it just feels good. It adds a special kind of energy. If it's just, you know, we might have a scene with three or four, five characters, just two of us having to do the same ones, adds that kind of energy really to it, an extra kind of level. Yeah.
And when the laughs come, are you trying to make them laugh, or are you just doing what you do and then they laugh?
A lot of improvisers would say, oh, you just kind of make it organically, don't go for gags. I go for a compromised kind of, yeah, you know, just doing like a fun character thing. Also, if I see a gag, I'm going to go for it. So I think it's a little of column A, a little of column B, you know, just like have a good character, but like also make a gag if it goes well. Yeah, definitely.
Final question is a two-part question, because there'll be people that have not seen improv before that could come and see this, and there'll be the improv audience. So what's your invitation to both those audiences?
Improv audience, hey guys, two-prov musical, you know, not done very much.
Two-prov, is this a word that's in the industry?
You said to pitch the improv audience, they've got the lingo. It's like a two-prov semi-Harold structure. Non-improv audiences, two men mucking around, making up a whole musical off the top of their heads. It's good to see a laugh.
Yeah, and the people that have never been before and are a bit worried they're going to get pulled up, you know, they're going to get embarrassed. That doesn't happen, does it?
No, not in the slightest. Unless they, like, really seriously set themselves up to disrupt the show. We won't embarrass anyone. We take like two suggestions maximum for the whole show. Really, like, nothing to worry about there. No one, you know, there's no point. No, I think it's like a misconception with a lot of comedy. It's about, in some way, humiliating the audience. It isn't at all. It's like, it's making, well, the good thing about improv is you kind of make it together, you know, the audience kind of feels involved. It's about like everyone making something really fun and spontaneous and, you know, never to be repeated and good and funny, hopefully.
Simon, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Cheers, Paul, no worries.